This is Michael. You're listening to Models of Masters, and I'm so grateful you're here. I'm breaking down personal stories, learned wisdom, and pieces of insight I hope can help you along your journey. Head over to my website, michaelbecker.org, for much more. And with that, let's get right into the show. Hey guys, this is a repurposed audio of an interview that I did with Ray Voice on his podcast called the Startup Specialist Podcast. Ray is a marketing agency owner in Pakistan. He's also an author of the book Build, Grow, Sell, How to Give the Market What It Wants and Take Their Money. And so I am over in Dubai as we speak and for this recording. So we are not too far apart. We had been chatting for a couple of weeks and decided to hop onto his podcast to knock out this quick recording. I have sort of edited it down to about 15 minutes for brevity, but we're going to jump right in. And we were talking about kind of the juxtaposition of long form content with short form content, leading right into a chat on what makes for good content today and how founders and owners should really be integrating content within their personal brand to build that, but also in bringing in their team and their employees into a cohesive content function where sharing and creation becomes not just the norm, but the expectation in this new attention economy. And so with that, we will pick it up at that point, and I hope you find value in today's episode. I just think content is going to continue to get better. The burden on creators to continue to raise the bar is going to go up. And you're already seeing that where the best of the best are getting all of the exposure. And anyone who's only creating mediocre and certainly, quote, bad content is being phased out. And the algorithms are recognizing it. Audiences are recognizing it. We're seeing a polarization in terms of where attention is going online. The people with six-figure followings are growing quick. Anybody below that is either stagnant or probably starting to lose followers, at least on Instagram. That was the case for me with my personal account. And Instagram is no longer a core platform for my personal brand. I've transitioned over to LinkedIn and to podcast, as well as to YouTube, for example. And I'm probably spending more time on Pinterest sharing my minimalist illustrations than I am even on Instagram. It worked really well for my New Earth Knowledge spirituality brand that I started back in 2018. Sold that in 2023, and this is a big reason why. Attention was just shifting away from the platform for me. So yeah, I think an increase in quality, but then I also think we're going to start to see technologies like the one that my startup is working on that are going to focus on consolidating content, shortening content, and augmenting content for audiences who just want the value, who just want the facts. Something that we found is people are spending an inordinate amount of time like skimming through content or skipping ahead on the content that they view. If you go pull up a YouTube video right now, and you can see on the tracker where people are skipping ahead to. It has the little spike, right? You can also go into your analytics page if you're a creator, and you can see where people tend to skip forward their cursor in a lot of cases on certain video content. So we're going to see technologies emerge that can cut all of the excess around that and give people what they really want. And that's what we're building right now. So that's where I think the trend is heading.
In the VC rooms, in the startup pitches, founders are already pitching to investors the influencers they have on their side, right? So how far do you think is the future where influencers and personal brands are going to become absolutely essential for startups as well as resumes for employees trying to find employment?
Massively. I've seen a number of big name influencers start to transition into the founder world. It does not work for everyone. And there are some people that are better suited for certain business models and certain types of self-promotion than others, right? So this is not for everybody. But yes, in general, I think the bigger your personal brand, it would be inaccurate for me to say that it doesn't play a factor in getting in the door, setting up meetings, you know, getting connections. It does. And I'm not like a massive, like, you know, million follower influencer or anything, but I take my personal brand serious. And I've been working to build it for a number of years by publishing on, you know, respected outlets, for example, in the marketing world, and sharing thoughts and sharing insights on LinkedIn, having a newsletter, having a podcast, having a YouTube channel. You can bet that these are all things that an investor or a partner or even employees early on are going to go look at. I mean, I would. And if I were an investor, I would certainly be looking at my founders. How do they think about design? How do they think about presentation? What are their thoughts? Are they sharing their thoughts? I would want my founders to be sharing their thoughts. Going back to the conversation we were having a few minutes ago, you know, even if I wasn't totally aligned with everything that they were sharing, the thing that's important isn't what they say. It's that they're willing to have a perspective and take a stand on what they believe and to share that into the marketplace, because that's what's really important as you build a company. You need to have those evangelists slash influencers on the front line. Those are the things that I would look for in a team, in a co-founder, and in a founder if I was an investor.
One of the questions from someone from my newsletter asked the question, and the question is, how is the content for a personal brand different from the content for a business or a startup?
Every person in your company, especially B2B, should be posting on social media, writing blog posts, contributing to a company content platform, for example, and pushing the brand forward. And companies that are not encouraging their team to do these things and coaching them on how to properly do them are really missing one of the biggest opportunities online, in my opinion. And conversely, you know, there's a bigger opportunity for personal brands, quote unquote, which is just individuals building their own platforms, podcasts, YouTube channels, blogs, doing what Ray is doing here with the podcast, with these lives, and building his personal LinkedIn profile, for example. And the opportunities that start to open up off the back of that, for example, being contracted by enterprises to go and do high-level projects on their behalf, for example, or to run sponsorships for 3 episodes or 5 episodes of a podcast for the company, and to get paid, you know, a nice amount, like several thousand dollars from a big company just to shout them out, for example, on a newsletter or a podcast, are emergent opportunities that are coming to the forefront for personal brands. And so I think both are more important than they've ever been. They're also meshing together, and they're crossing over in a lot of different ways as well. So that's where I see the real value for personal brand, but also evangelists if you're an employee and you're looking to grow your name, which you should be doing.
That's very interesting. So I have a question right here. So how do we encourage our employees to start creating content aside from coaching them? Because a lot of them are shy and they don't really want to create content. And we believe in content creating for our employees. But if they are shy, how do we encourage them? And also, what sort of HR policies do we put in place to avoid any mishaps?
Yeah, great question. So I think we need to start looking at our team, but also like our content channels, more as a decentralized branded newsroom and less as a stagnant like thing that we need to adhere to all these rules and regulations and like brand guidelines. I think one thing that forward-leaning companies can do is almost make it a condition of employment to, you don't have to be actively posting content, but to at least contribute, right? And serve as an in-house subject matter expert. I don't know why you would be bringing somebody onto your team who wasn't a subject matter expert in what they do. If you're building a scale up or an enterprise company, that may not be the case for every single type of company. For example, agencies might be in a little bit of a different situation here. But I recognize that my team has stored knowledge and has unique insights that I want to free. I don't want them to just come in, clock in, clock out, and be doing monotonous stuff day to day. There's really no excitement or meaning in that. And there's more value you can glean in this, again, this new online ecosystem. Personally, you know, if I were, let's just say, scaling up a B2B brand today or advising on one, I would hire one editor in chief to run the show then I would rely on that extended team to source content as in-house reporters. If they didn't want to be front and center or they didn't want to show their face, no problem. Like, let me learn what you're good at and use you as a source if you're willing to help support a story or to work with another writer who can tap your brain for something that they might be working on. And so I think that's the real opportunity, Ray. Again, you can bring in coaches, you can bring in consultants to help people understand why and how, you know, contributing, if not creating, to content is, I think, the biggest opportunity right now for brand building and for marketing. So that's kind of how I think about it.
Great. So another question I have right here is, right now, companies don't want their employees to create content because they don't trust a lot of their employees with their brand, right? So how do we get companies from this mindset to the mindset of, hey, let's everybody create content and it's a good thing?
Yeah, I think if trust is the concern, you know, you can then look at your team as almost a flywheel of promotional nodes around your net. If you don't trust people to create content, or if they don't want to, like if your team really is shy or they're just not well schooled in digital creation, fine. Like, how can you use what you have to spread your message further? How can your team be amplifiers? Like I said, nodes on a net to share. Maybe that just means creating a separate Slack room where you drop your content assets or your pillar projects that you're investing so much time into, and you have everyone share. If people can't contribute, maybe sharing is a requirement or an expectation. You have to look at your company as a media brand, point blank. And if you don't, you're going to get overshadowed by your competitors who are starting to do that if they're not already there. Your team, I think for the first time ever, is responsible for more than just what's on that job application or on the job description. It's really a team effort to build the brand today. Marketing is something that needs to be done, not just by one or two people in the marketing organization, but by every single person in your company.
So I also wanted to talk about the sort of incentive programs we can offer employees to motivate them to create that content. And also, can you shine some light on the sort of content calendars we would make and how we would plan that content?
Yeah, so content calendars, I'm indifferent on. I've used them in previous roles, particularly with Emarsys, which was a scale-up enterprise I was with in North America. And I think they're fine, you know, especially if you have a large distributed team across multiple geographies. You know, once you start to get to that enterprise level, maybe it makes sense. But if you're starting up, or even if you're scaling up, or if you're an agency, or if you're a solopreneur, and Ray, I'd love to hear your thoughts too on how you run it, but I would rather my team be spending time on external facing content and creation than me or them trying to map everything out. I write about this in the book. The opportunity is larger right now for distribution and quantity of output than it is for strategizing and mapping out and planning everything in a calendar. I couldn't have said this 3 or 5 years ago, but the way the market is shifting, you need output to be happening. Like, I'm snapping my fingers right now, quick, daily, right? And so I just see it as like time that could be spent planning can be spent creating. And it doesn't really matter what you create, actually. You know, it really doesn't. It doesn't matter what you create as long as it's of a high quality and of a value. For example, Ray and I, we didn't really plan what we were going to be talking about today. I put a little bit of thought into it, but we're just showing up and we're having a conversation and then we're going to share it. We could be spending this time planning it and scripting it out, but the sharing and the creating is what is most important. That's where your highest leverage point is.
Okay, great. So how should founders really think about that to like get some big influencer or maybe focus on smaller influencers and create user-generated content?
I would be looking at that from two perspectives. I would build a Rolodex, which is something we're working on right now, of external influencers and potential affiliate partners who can spread your message for you as sponsors, where you're almost essentially contracting people out or paying them to promote your thing for you to drive sales or to drive audience. And then team building is the other piece of that, where you can look to bring on people who, I would say, micro influencers would be more interested in coming on in a part-time or even a full-time basis if the package is right for them, who are already aligned, it can just pivot their message for your brand. I have seen that, right? You've seen that even with like Joe Rogan and what's her name? The Call Her Daddy podcast woman, Alex Cooper. Like Spotify basically bought the rights to their podcasts. So they, in essence, work for Spotify, although Spotify still, it didn't change anything about their program or their platform. It's like, we're going to buy the rights to you. Keep doing the thing that you're doing. And so I think this is another interesting evolution of digital marketing and the intersection of entrepreneurship and the creator economy, where there's just more opportunities to do things like that.
Okay. And what sort of content medium should startups focus on? Like there's podcasts and there's YouTube shorts, there's TikTok. How should they like, which sort of content medium should they favor?
I would rather you think about the effect that you want to have or the goal that you need to hit for your company and then map content to that. Don't start with channel or format, start with the result that you want. As far as creation goes, I bucket my content into three categories and then I decide what the best platform is for it. So I have, for example, micro content, which is short form. I have content assets, which is like medium length, just think like weekly output projects. And then I have pillar projects. And so I am prioritizing my pillar projects on a quarterly basis. And these are in-depth, months-long campaigns that are meant to be direct revenue drivers for a company. For me right now, this is probably setting up meetings, refining my pitch deck for my company, and building out our website. Like that's the biggest leverage project that we can be working on right now. Then with this model that I'm describing, we would go and map assets and micro content to that we could then pump out on a weekly basis. Only then do we say, okay, where's our audience present to receive these types of communications? Maybe it's a podcast, maybe it's the blog, maybe it is, I don't know, YouTube, for example. Then we start creating content for those platforms with our, I call it a lean content factory in the book, and I talk about how to build that out. But you really need to start with what you want to achieve, where your audience is, only then focusing on how you're going to create the content. That is it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. My book, Content Capitalist, is now on sale. You can visit my website, michaelbecker.org, to grab your copy. There's also a link in the description. And if you'd like to learn more about what me and my team at Neocore are building, you can visit our website, neocore.co. You can learn more there and join the waitlist for when we launch later this year.